For our sermon this morning, we'll be starting in Matthew chapter 28. We'll start the reading at verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." Pray with me. God, help us now as we consider the commandments that you have given us and the commission that you have given us. Give us wisdom to discern who we are and what we are to do and how we can best fulfill the directions and the commands that you have given. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Through the course of my time here at Eastvale, we've had the experience of people coming here from other RP congregations, and sometimes they stay, and sometimes they don't. It's been a strange experience, and it's actually been a tension for me, and it's been a tension for my family. I know that sometimes people become discontent somewhere, and then they may come here. And why? Why do they come? They come for a number of different reasons. Everybody's heart is a deep ocean. It's not as if we can just label any individual or we can just put anybody in one single category. We've all got our reasons. And then, through the course of time, they oftentimes decide, "I think I'll go back where I came from." So we question and we wonder, is it simply a discontent heart that comes and it is simply a discontent heart that leaves? Or is it the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence? Why? And as I met with one group or one couple that were deciding whether or not to leave Eastvale once they had come, I asked them the question, "Do you believe Eastvale is a legitimate work? Do you believe that we are even supposed to be here?" Is what I meant by that. Because frankly and easily, many of us, we could go across the river and we could be a part of a bigger congregation with more resources. We could go up the hill and be a part of a bigger congregation with more resources, with more fellowship, maybe. Some of the people who have come here and have left, they left simply, as they would describe it, "Well, the people over there invited us to dinner more." So why are we here? Why are we doing what we are doing? The way I understand our history, it started off as a children's outreach. And people worked here and they labored here and they brought the children in and they loved the children with the hope and the expectation that they would receive the gospel, that they would really trust in Christ and the kingdom would be built that way. And that work, it went on and it went on and it went on and it went on for decades. And there have been a few people that have been a part of our midst that grew up as a part of that ministry. And there have been seeds that have been planted. And I told you, when you talk to people in Eastvale, some of them remember things. Some of them remember a psalm. Some would even say that this is their church, without a right understanding that church means you are assembling, that you are a part of a community. So as we look and as we wonder, why are we here? Are we here just to assemble on a Lord's Day? Are we here to do children's outreach and bring them in and tell them the gospel and tell them the stories? I tried being on the Eastvale Fire Department, and I tried bringing people in that way. I tried being on the Borough Council. I tried bringing people in that way. And as we look at the scriptures and as we read and the pictures that we are given, there is the time where God says, if you go in and you preach and you share the gospel and they will not receive, he said, shake the dust off of your feet as a judgment against them. That they have been told, that they have been warned, that you have given the gospel and they have refused to listen. So we have to keep stepping back and say, asking, why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we here? Now, I am very grateful that I have been given the opportunity to serve you as your pastor. I am thankful for that. I am thankful for everything that you have given me. I am thankful for all of the ways that you have loved me, all of the ways that you have supported my family, and up till recently, and including this moment, I am still committed to you. As your pastor. But it is right, and it is good for us to look and for us to ask the question, why are we here? In your bulletin this morning, you received a handout. This is the mission of the church as stated in the Constitution of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. If you would look at that with me. This states, it is the mission of the church to preserve, maintain, and proclaim to the whole world the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole counsel of God. To gather into her fellowship those of every race and people who accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and promise obedience to Him. To build them up in their most holy faith and train them to be faithful witnesses for Christ in all of His offices. To maintain the ordinances of divine worship in their purity. Witness against all evil. And in every way to seek the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth. If we can look at this, and we as individuals and as a congregation can look and say, yes, these are things that I can do and should be doing as an individual and things we ought to be doing as a fellowship, and we can pour into these, we make our stance by ourselves over here on the other side of the river or anywhere else legitimate. It makes sense then. If we can work and we can labor and we can accomplish these missions of the church. Now, as far as dividing goes and us being separate, there can be good reasons for that. If you think back when Abraham and Lot were working and they came to such a size and their servants were fighting together, there was a time they said, you know what? How about you go work over there and I'll work over here. That's legitimate. That can happen. That can be good and that can be fruitful. That's okay. Now, as we look at the church, I'm going to give you another piece of our history and what we've had and what we've experienced here at Eastvale. I was shocked when I came here. And one of the things that was really surprising to me, and I'll reference the Carsons, for example, and other people apply, that the Carsons would be over here and work and labor here while their children and grandchildren were over there. That idea surprised me, because personally, if I could sing the Psalms with my mom and dad and my kids and grandkids, I think that's what I'd really want to be doing. But in their place, and other people in this place, they looked and said, I have something to do here. I have a mission here. I have a field here. I can work here, and it is legitimate. And those people stayed here. And they labored and they worked. So as we're pulling all of these ideas together, and as we're moving towards our congregational meeting, and we divided the congregational meeting because we don't want it just to be what it has been in the past, where we read the stories of what we have done. We want it also to be a discussion about what we ought to be doing as a congregation, what we need to be doing as a mission, and how we can be working forward. So as we're looking at these things, I'm calling on you to look at your gifts, look at your abilities, your talents, and see in what ways can you be fulfilling this mission? In what ways can you be working to see God's kingdom come? And the call this morning is for you to live the firmly established mission. To live the firmly established mission. So now our first step. The church's mission is stated at man's beginning. We'll go back to Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Again, the church's mission is stated at man's beginning. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." As we look at the idea of being created in God's image, this is something that is to empower us and to inspire us. If we think about ourselves participating in our foolish little sins that are really aimless distractions or even harmful things to us, cowering in shadow, in darkness, doing those things, if all of a sudden a voice said, "Wait a minute, you are image of God, image of the Creator, image of the Ruler, and you have been given a task, a job to do, a work to do, things to be fulfilled." I have a cousin who's in his 20s now, and when he was a toddler and a very young boy, probably Levi's age, he was a terror in church, always making all kinds of racket, always carrying on. He was a bad distraction. And one day my mother took him aside and said, "Do you know what your job is?" He said, "What?" She said, "Your job is to listen to the preacher in church." And he asked, "Who's the preacher?" She said, "He's that guy standing up front with the tie on. It's your job to listen to him." He said, "Oh, I didn't know." And he sat down and he listened. And things were so much better after that. For us, what are we doing? What is our job? And as we look here and we look and see man as created in God's image, we also look and we see God as builder. God as the one who's actually creating things and has made things. We are supposed to be able to drive across the river in the sunshine, look at the river and see the ice rolling down, see the hills and see the trees and say, "Wow, God made that stuff. He did good work." And now as we look at this, we're supposed to step back and say, "And I'm his image. I'm here to build. I'm here to make. I am here to create." This is one of the hang-ups I have when if I have a video game that I really like, that I can go through and I can conquer, and I can go through and I can rule, but I haven't really conquered anything. I'm not really ruling anything. You see, God as this creator and God as this cultivator, we look at the scripture and says, God is the one who makes things grow. And again, you are God's image, and this is why we have these inclinations. This is why, even though I've never had a successful garden, I'd like to. I would like to make things grow. We are to put things in order. We like to play Settlers of Catan because we like to build and we like to create and we like to dominate. We want a world that we can make and create and dominate. We want things put together and we want things put in order. But it's so much easier to do it at a card table or a kitchen table than it is dealing with people's messy and hard lives. Most of us, we want to play sports, or at least we want to watch people play some sport. Or we want to learn an instrument. Or we want to listen to somebody else that can. Because we want order. We want structure. We want things that are made, and we want them made beautiful. This is the mission of the church. As we are created in God's image, we are to be so much more. Our next step, number two. Following the fall, and I'm trusting we know what I'm talking about, mankind going into sin, world being crushed, world being broken. Following the fall, God's work and His people's work has been building the eternal kingdom. So we don't need to build new mountains. We have mountains. What is the work of the church now? It is to see hearts put in order. Families put into order. Congregations being put into order. Led along and nourished by the gospel. This is our answer. This is our hope. This is our work. So, in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman." So, when the fall happened, and I picture it like this. First, before the fall, when God created Adam and Eve, and they're in the world, God puts them in the garden. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." You would see the world going from a tangled mess that would look like my garden to looking like a good garden. It would go forward and it would start looking like a golf course or something. It would be this beautiful, cultivated land that would be beautiful and perfect and glorious if man did what he was meant to do. Instead, he bites the fruit, it cracks, and a death wave spreads to the world. And Satan rules in this picture. So God says then, there's going to be enmity. There's going to be a tension. There's going to be a fighting. But Satan, you're going to be undone. Your head's going to be crushed. Your kingdom is going to be destroyed. This is what Christ was talking about when he was talking to the people about casting out demons. And he said, "How can somebody enter a strong man's house and take away his possessions unless the strong man has first been bound?" It's being described to us that Satan has been bound. And now the kingdom will come back as you and I, as 1 Corinthians 1:13 tells us, have been transitioned from the kingdom of darkness into God's beloved kingdom, into the kingdom of light. This is the work that we do, and this is our work now. Romans 16:20, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, where God calls Abraham. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all of the families of the earth will be blessed.'" This is where we are. parts of all of the families of the earth. You as an individual are a member of this family if you're calling on Christ. You and your household, you are a member of this family, blessed in Christ. You as a congregation are a member of this family, blessed in Christ, with this expectation that now we all will be going forth, cultivating and bringing the kingdom. In Galatians 3:7, therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. This is the reality. Now we look at our lives and we see the wreck and we see the mess. We see the pain that we all are experiencing. And it is our work to go forth and to cultivate. Our third step. The kingdom of God comes through the gospel. The kingdom of God comes through the gospel. Mark 1:14 and 15. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." We see what is meant to be and what is meant to take place. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul makes this statement. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" So what is our work and what is our mission? It is to see the world fixed. We understand that. Most of us, if we looked outside and we saw a hungry child, we would want to feed this hungry child. We would want to take care of a child that fell down and was hurt outside. We would do what we need to do to make that happen. But what do we accomplish if we do it without the gospel? There was a woman from this community, an older woman, who was in the service here. I don't know how much she was in the service. She was a part of the outreach, and this is long, long ago. And when I talked to her, she praised the church. And the praise that she gave was, "If the church hadn't been there, we wouldn't have had anything to do." Now, that isn't necessarily a reflection on what we said or what we didn't say. If her heart hadn't been open to receive the gospel, she couldn't have heard the gospel. I expect she heard the gospel. I expect that it had been said. I expect that she had been told about Christ. But for us, do you want that to be your legacy? Will you just be the nice person that sent soup? Will you just be the nice person that gave someone something to do? Or will we be the people who bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, fulfilling this mission? Now, as we look at Scripture, we have this hopeful expectation. And we'll just grab a bit of this right now. This is the fourth step. The mission will be accomplished. The mission will be accomplished. As we look at Scripture, it is made clear to us that this is going to be done. You can almost equate it to a sports team that is going to win. We can be those people who are in school and we look and see we have a great team. We've got a great team and we have every expectation that our team is going to go to the States. And they are going to win the state. This will be the reality. And now you and I are invited. Want to come be on the team? Do you want to be a part of this? Do you want the jersey? Do you want to come to the party after we win? See, the kingdom will come. The kingdom wins. The kingdom does fill the earth. Daniel 2, 34 and 35 pictures it this way. This is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And Daniel tells him about it. He continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands. This is Christ Jesus coming. And it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time. This is the pictures of the kingdoms of the world being undone by Christ Jesus. And that will be as the church goes, bringing the gospel. At the same time, it all became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You know that mountain has come here? The mountain has come to Eastvale. And it is Eastvale Reformed Presbyterian Church. This is the reality. This is who and what you are. And this is the commission and the work and the mission that we have been given. Tonight we will come back and we will continue this look through the mission that we've been given. And this is the emphasis now for you to see that it's real. To see that it is stated and commanded in Scripture that this is indeed your identity in this world. And for you as individuals and us as a congregation to map out, what are we going to do about it? How will we live it? How will this be the reality? Pray with me. Our God, we thank you that you have given us a work to do and that you have told us what it is. Please bless us in the coming weeks leading up to our congregational meeting and even in our congregational meeting as we decide what you would have us do. We come up with our plans, Lord, to match up with your plans and your expressed will for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.